faithfulness, amen. God is faithful, isn't he not?
Yeah.
How many of you know him to be faithful?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. How many of you know him to be faithful?
Yeah.
All that we need. Everything that we need. Everything that we need.
Yeah.
His hand provides. Whatever it is, he is faithful to provide.
Yeah.
Great is thy faithfulness. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. You are my strength and my redeemer. I think I say this every Sunday, and then when I go back and look at the time, I don't know that I actually follow through with that. I always say I won't be before you long, and then when I look at the little slider on the bottom, I said, well, somebody was long. So I promise you today I will not be before you long. Amen. I will share this with you. We're coming out of the book of James, the first chapter. And I just want to lift the fourth verse, which says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and whole, wanting nothing. So we're talking today about patience. And those of you that know may find that to be rather humorous. See, we are somebody already laughing. Amen. But let me share this with you. I have never in the last 2 weeks of my life, I have never worked as hard and as long hours as I have for the last 2 weeks. And when I tell you, it has literally been 2 and 3, at the most 4 hours of sleep at night for the last 2 weeks. And on a good day with 8 hours sleep, I'm not the most patient of people. So I was fearful of what may happen on 2 and 3 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I found, and some of you may appreciate this and some of you may not, but I found that whatever it is that the Lord gives me to speak about,
mm-hmm.
He also tests me on that thing.
Amen.
I said to Deacon Mobley the other day on the phone, I said, I'm going to be careful about the sermon topics that come my way because I get tested on them. I said, I'm going to start preaching about prosperity and so forth and see if the checks start coming. It was a joke. It was a joke. But nevertheless, I was tested this last week more than I ever have been on being patient. And some folks laugh because they work with me. You hear that? And I think I did fairly well because there were some times this week where I wanted to lay hands on some folks. Right? I wanted to meet them right where they were and lay hands on them. And instead I just said, well, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Patience, it takes work. Amen. So this isn't one of those hang on until things get better sermon. That's advice we give sad hearts who are bowed down under weight of troubles. This sermon is for all kinds of people in all kinds of situations, and it's essential for us that want to grow. Amen. So life's lessons, we learn them every day, and while it's true that one are most likely to remember are the painful ones. We're most likely to remember the ones that force us to weather storms with some grace. And but all lessons don't have to be painful. Amen, somebody. We don't have to learn all of our lessons through mistakes and through crisis. We can learn more easily by simply reading and trusting the Word of God. And today, the epistle writer James teaches that patience must be a Christian way of life. And see, we're in an era of Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We are in an era of everything that is right now and instant.
Amen.
from oatmeal to direct deposit. I mean, everything is instant. Amen. We don't really have to wait on anything. And so here we come to a situation where the Bible is telling us that we need to learn to persevere and be patient through trials and tribulation, because when you come out of the other end of that thing, you have learned some patience, and patience will in fact do a perfect work in you. Some folks see patience as a weakness because we're in a hurry. But I want to share something with you. How many of you learn that trouble comes when you try to get ahead of God?
Yeah.
Trouble will come your way quicker than you can bat your eye when you are trying to get around and ahead of God. See, y'all don't know when to shout. When we get in a hurry to reach a goal, we forget the benefits of waiting on the Lord. We forget the benefit of having patience when we're so busy chasing after something instead of waiting for it to come to us. Today, this is for those of us that are trying to reach perfection. No, we'll never really get there, but we can reach for it.
Yeah.
First, 3 points. First, patience is work. Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to write it down. Patience is work. It's not about cowering in a corner somewhere and waiting for God to act. Patience calls us to carry our weight, the Bible says, in the heat of the day. There's nothing more selfish than wallowing in our own sorrow, and it will consume us if we don't get a hold of that thing. Patience demands that we work our way out of sorrow and then keep on working. Come on, somebody. The best comforter in the world is working for others. I can say that because I know it to be true. Come on, yeah, see, y'all missed it. The best comfort for me is working for others. Okay. Come on, somebody. When I take time to put my own stuff aside and make sure that the needs of the people are met first, I take comfort in that thing. Amen. Now, I didn't say it was easy, and I didn't say that it does not require a great skill of patience and the ability to just let some things roll off of your back. I had a situation yesterday that I have never encountered in 25 years, but I stuck by my ground and I stood my ground and I said, if you don't do a certain thing by this time on Thursday, you will not see me on Saturday. And I meant it with my whole heart, and I had to be patient with that thing. But I stood my ground, and I found that when I stood my ground and I allowed the storm to come, and the phone started ringing, and pastors started calling, and everybody had their own version of the truth, and none of it was accurate. I didn't flare up. I stayed still. I remained silent, and I stayed calm, and I stayed patient. And at the end of that thing on Saturday morning, all worked out well. Now, if I had gotten in the middle of it and tried to run ahead of God, I'd have made a big mess. There's comfort in working for others. There is nothing that lightens the weight of our troubles more than service. Come on, somebody. How do I know that to be true?
Amen.
You come into the house and you're heavy laden. And you come in and you sit down in a corner. And then you just sit and think about the weight of the world on your shoulders and how bad you feel. But if you had managed to pick up something and stand by the door and welcome folks as they come in, or go into the kitchen and make breakfast for the kids, or go teach a class somewhere in the back room, you would find that there is some comfort in serving other folks. Consider how much time is lost in the spread of the gospel when we press the pause button, when we press the panic button, and we fold under the weight of our burdens. See, we can always find an excuse for shirking our duty, can't we?
Amen.
Never a good one, but it doesn't have to be a good one. Any excuse will do when you don't want to do something.
Amen.
Right? Well, the wind's blowing too hard. I ain't going to church. It looks like rain. I'm not going to church. But I play golf, and I always see folks on the golf course. They put on garbage bags. Hitting golf, but not me. I'm heading right back to the, I'm heading right. But they'll hit golf balls in the rain, and they'll cover their golf clubs so they don't get wet. They'll stand there, lightning flashing. You chasing after golf balls, but it looked like rain, and you won't go to church on Sunday. We're fickle folks, aren't we? The bottom line is this: don't let any burden get in the way of your duty. I'm going to say it again. Don't let any burden get in the way of your duty. Don't miss your greatest opportunity to serve your Savior. See, Christ's burdens are far greater than any of ours could ever be. And he bore them on our behalf. Amen. Not for us to make excuses, but for us to get up and serve and build the kingdom. Jesus said, I must work the work in him that sent me while it is day, because there is coming a time that is called night when nobody is going to be able to work. Amen. You think that you have time, don't you? We think that we have yet another opportunity to get it right. We think next Sunday I'll join the church. We think next Sunday I'll get it that youth group. Next Sunday I'll go to Bible study. Next Sunday I'll go to Sunday school. But the truth of the matter is, there is a time coming that you will not be able to do it.
Yes.
So get it done now.
Yes.
Patience, the second point. Patience gives you energy. And that's how I find that to be true this week. Nothing good comes without effort. Am I right?
Amen.
Nothing good comes without effort. If it does, it comes with strings. It comes with a check that you can't cash eventually.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Leases are good till you get the balloon payment. And then you got to give that thing back.
Yes, sir.
You may be able to get the car easy, but when the bill comes, can you keep it?
Amen.
No, you got to give that thing back, don't you?
Because
the bill is more than the car is worth by that time.
Yes, sir.
Nothing good comes without effort. We just don't owe Christ service. We owe him energetic service.
Yes, sir.
How can we think of grumbling about our duties when we think of Christ? But we do it, don't we?
Yes, sir.
We come sometimes dragging into church. Sometimes we come in looking like what we've been through. Sometimes we come in saying, I really don't want to be here, but. Somebody said that to me that worked for me one time. Guess where they are? At CareerLink, looking for another job. I don't want your leftovers, and neither does the Lord.
All right.
You owe him, we owe him energetic service, do we not?
Yes.
The Bible says, and David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Did we just sing it? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You should wake up on Sunday morning excited that you're about to go and give praise to God, because he did something for you that he didn't have to do. And you owe him your best praise. You don't owe him an attitude of dragging into church and sitting in church looking all heavy laden and burdened down, when he said, I already bore that stuff for you. So get up out of that thing and serve and serve with gladness. And when the doors swing open, bust up in there and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it, no matter what comes, no matter what they say, no matter how it looks. I'm going to be glad and I'm going to rejoice, because this day you gave it to me. I'm not used to this. I work with the dead. When I come into the house, I don't expect to be around dead God.
Yeah.
I could stay on Hamilton Street. Amen. Y'all, I give God praise. Can you just get up for a second and tell God thank you? Can you just give him some praise? Can you just tell him you're worthy? Can you just tell him thank you? Hallelujah. I get all Sunday and I want to be here. Even right now. And they're in the hospital. They're in a nursing home. They can't feed themselves. Your hands to God. Hallelujah. Time is coming when you won't be able to do it. You better do it right now. James says in the second verse of this chapter, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And on the surface, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? If you don't really know the Lord, that sounds foolish, doesn't it? If you don't really know what he can do and you don't have a personal relationship with him, when someone reads that, you say, that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
But if you know him, Who in their right mind would be glad or sad in trouble? Who would want to walk around with a broken leg or stumble through life in poverty or struggle to keep your family together? But that's not what James is saying. You've got to keep reading. We keep taking things out of context. You cannot take the scripture out of context. I have taught y'all from day one, read the verse before it and read a couple after it. Just don't pick that one thing and run with it, because you're going to be wrong. If you keep reading, it says, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. There it is. Trials produce patience, and patience gives you energy, does it not? Patience will give you energy to press on. Patience will give you energy to run on. Patience will give you patience to look and see what the end is going to be. Patience will allow you to not give up. Patience will allow you to look at a situation that to the world looks impossible, and you can just patiently wait and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I know that you can do it. I know that you will do it. Sister Crystal, patience will allow you to look at your husband in a wheelchair that is not able to walk, and patience will tell you, if you hold on just a little while longer, I'm on the way. I heard your call. I heard your cry. Be patient and wait on me, and I will bring restoration. And now he's got a little movement, and now he's starting to walk a little bit. And if you just faint not, I guarantee you one day we're going to look, and he's going to come walking through the door, because God is able. There was an analogy in a book I was reading by Alexander McLaren. He's a pastor in California, and he points out that both winter and summer are essential to the harvest.
See,
when things are bleak, Mother Nature is still working. You just can't see the results yet. Just because it's wintertime doesn't mean that the harvest is not being prepared. Amen? Just because you can't see anything popping up out of the ground because it's wintertime doesn't mean that Mother Nature is doing what needs to be done. Because you can't grow something in ground all year round. The ground needs to rest. And in that resting period is time for preparation. So when the seed falls, it will fall on good ground. Because listen, y'all, the seed was never the problem. It was the ground that it fell on. All the seed was good. It just, some of it fell on bad ground. Amen. So just because it's dark doesn't mean that harvest is not being prepared. And the same is true in our faith journey. Wintery seasons of our lives are no less important to the building of our character than summer times of ease. If your work ceases during times of challenge, you'll never see optimal results that God has already preordained for you. Every day, full speed ahead, all the time. Everybody see me, that you're always going somewhere, because there's work to be done. Why are you working so much? Because night is coming, and I don't know when night is coming for me. So while it's daytime, I'm going to work. Keep up or get out of my way, because there's work to be done. You ought to be that way on your way to church. When hell raises up, look, I'm on my way to the house, and I'm glad to go. You better either come along or get up out the way, because there's work to be done, and there's praise to be lifted, and I'm on my way to Linden Street. Come on or stay behind, but get out the way. Come on, can I get a witness? Full speed ahead all the time. Life is nothing more than a training ground for building your character. Amen. Patience gives you the energy to be all you can be for Christ and the building of his kingdom. Finally, patience develops perfection. Now, this patience thing won't always baffle you, I promise. It's perplexing in the beginning, and I've struggled with it. And sometimes I still struggle with it. You know, and come on, amen. And I know that people know I struggle with it, because I see how they approach me. I said, oh, here they come. They already know. So that you know, character. We've got to work on that thing. We've got to be approachable. We've got to be approachable. Come on, somebody. We got to shake hands and hug folks, not run and hide. Ah, y'all don't want to hear that. All right. Confusion will give way to understanding if you stir in a little trust. And the day will come when you look back and you see the perfection that it has created in you. Come on, James calls our strengthened spiritual state perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And that simply describes the life of Christ, doesn't it? And shouldn't that be our goal, to be Christ-like? We said that in Sunday school this morning. Our goal should be to be Christ-like. And God cannot do a perfect work in us unless we're willing to do some work ourselves. Come on, somebody. We've got to put energy into our work and patiently trust in perfection's outcome. Faith's patience is the only way to run this race, and those who run it will receive a prize. Is that not correct? We all have a race to run, and I'm not trying to get a bronze medal for anything. I'm not trying to skateboard my way into heaven. I want to bust the gates open. Come on, somebody. If you're going to go to hell, don't go on a skateboard. Go in a limousine. If you're going to go to heaven, don't skate up in there. Bust them doors down open. Come on, somebody. Full steam ahead. And let's close. Patience has a perfect work. Patience can clear our minds. Patience can stabilize our souls. Patience can cure our unbelief. Patience can remove our doubts. Patience can renew our faith. And patience can humble our spirit. Perfect patience replaces gloom with God's glory. It revives weak things and makes them strong. It rekindles faith's flicker into a flame. And it replaces pressure with peace, does it not? Come on, let's talk about patience. It can regenerate your soul. Can it not? It can reinforce your testimony. I'm talking about being patient. It can reshape your way of thinking. If you're patient, it can reshape the way you're thinking. When you see some foolishness walking in your direction, if you are just able to have a little bit of patience, it will change your way of thinking. And when you change your way of thinking, you will inadvertently change the way people talk to you. You will change the way people approach you. You will change in your character, will start to develop in a way that you will become more approachable. You will be more effective. You can build the kingdom more efficiently because you have been patient. And when you are patient, there is less confrontation. When there is less confrontation, you have peace. Patience will reestablish your priorities. It really will do it. Patience will relax your nerves. I'm going to ask you a question. You've been with me for 2 years plus. How many Advil have you personally put in my hand? You can't count them. I used to carry a bag with it in there. Because at a split second, somebody would give me a headache. It worked my nerves. I haven't taken Advil since November. It will relax your nerves. It will reform your attitude, and it will reaffirm your commitment. It will replenish your joy if you give it a chance. Come on, somebody. Listen, spiritual growth isn't magical. And we mistake gifts for spiritual growth. Just because you can sing good and play good and preach good, that doesn't mean that you have any spiritual growth. That just means that you have a gift. Now, you can put up a Christmas tree, and the very next day, you can have a whole bunch of gifts underneath it. A gift is just a gift. You don't generally work for a gift. Someone gives you a gift because they want to give you something. Amen? But giving gifts doesn't mean that you have grown anything. Spiritual growth is not magical. Some Christians choose to embrace a childlike faith all of their life. Come on, somebody. Others reach to certain spiritual plateaus and they stay there. But then there are some that are content to grow in fits and starts, and they're always starting over. They're always reinventing themselves. They're always doing something different. That's not growth. That's unstable. And the Bible says if you're unstable, don't expect anything from it. The Bible says, and I didn't say it, but if you're unstable and you work for me, don't expect anything from me either. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, regardless of your circumstances. Can I get a witness? And we'll close this out. See, if you are someone who desires to become all that God wants you to be, the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work within you. Come on and let's close it out. Pray with me. Regardless of your circumstances, there is still joy and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We can still be in the church and have a good time. Amen. You don't have to be drunk. You don't have to be high. You just have to know who God is and what he can do. And he will take you to a high that the world cannot give you. And the Bible says the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it to me, he can't take it away. So if you learn to get in that place, it doesn't matter what comes your way, because God has you and his joy comes from you. So when hell raises up, you can still smile and walk through that thing and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in that thing. There is joy on waiting on the Lord to renew your strength. There's joy in drawing close to God and having him draw close to you. There's joy in letting God's praise continually be in your mouth. There is joy in blessing the Lord at all times. Let me share this with you. The other day, every day when I get up, because I'm glad to be here, every day when I get up, I say, thank God. I say, thank you for another day. Even if I don't make it to lunchtime, thank you for allowing me to get up when that alarm clock says 5 a.m. I get up every morning, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth is thanks to God. Until the other day, I got up on 2 hours of sleep. And when I got up, the first thing I said was, Lord, I am so tired. I had to get up and I had to get to the gym, and I have 4 dogs. They wouldn't go in the right direction. They do everything right every day, but this morning one went this way, one went that way, the other one went that way, one went back under the covers and went to sleep. I kept saying, boy, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. I was on my way to the shower. Boy, I'm so tired. And the more I spoke that into my life, the more exhausted I became, until finally I had to get with myself, because when I got out of the shower, I caught a glimpse of my face, and I saw my face say, I am so tired. And then I looked at the scars that I had from the cancer, that when they cut me here and they cut me there. And then I looked and saw I still need to lose a little bit of weight. When for 5 years ago I was whittling away to nothing, and I had to change my focus. And I said, you know what? I apologize for talking about how tired I am. I said, God, thank you for waking me up this morning. I'm not tired as I felt. This is the day. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Go where you tell me to go. How you want me to do it. I'm not going to complain, because it was a day that I never saw before. And when it's over, I'll never see it again. So when you change your mind and change your focus, God will come in and restore you. You can speak blessings into your life. Just like you can speak negativity.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're in the situation that we're in because we speak it over our own life. This is the day. I will bless the Lord at all time, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. And if you adopt that thing, you'll stop gossiping.
Yeah.
And if you stop gossiping, people will stop gossiping to you. Amen, walls.
Amen.
If they know, well, don't call her with that, because she's just going to tell you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I don't have time for your mess. So before you know it, you're not going to have that mess on your phone. If people call you to gossip, it's because they know that you're going to gossip back. There is a joy in having praise in your mouth at all times. There's joy in giving the Lord the glory that is due his name. There's joy in meditating on the Lord day and night. I'm not talking about being so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you have to walk around here like you're the Pope, and I'm not saying that you know, you can't get through a day without falling out and rolling up on the... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a character that is pleasing to the Lord. I'm talking about walking in the stuff that you actually need. If you're going to get up on Sunday morning and press your way into the house, you may as well learn something from it. Amen? You may as well walk on Monday like you walk on Sunday. And if you walk on Monday like you do on Sunday, then that will follow over into Tuesday. And by Friday, you won't be so worn out and despondent. You'll be looking forward to Sunday. Amen? Be the same every day of the week, and God will be pleased. pleased with you. And when he's pleased with you, it says that he will bless you. And when he blesses you, he doesn't bless you half. He doesn't give you leftovers. He opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing on you so much so that you have to pick and choose what blessing you gonna walk in on Monday. You'll have some stuff on Tuesday to walk into that you didn't use up on Monday, because the windows of heaven are overflowing because God is pleased with your prayers. Make a promise today to be more patient when discouragement comes your way. Make a promise to yourself today to be more patient when people don't say what you want them to say. Make a promise to yourself today that you'll be more patient when things don't look like that you want them to look. And this one is for me. Make a promise to be more patient when things don't seem to be moving fast enough for you. I take something out of your hand, do it myself if I think you're doing it too slow. And then I'm irritated that I had to do it. But the truth is, I didn't have to do it in the first place. Be patient as you conquer strongholds. My trainer does jujitsu, not me. My trainer does jujitsu. And he said the key to being not wiped all over the mat is being patient and not being so quick to jump. Because when you get quick to jump, you wear yourself out. And you can get beaten by someone who has less power than you.
Amen.
He said that you have to be patient and you have to watch. And when they run it at you, he said, you just move. He said, you don't have to run right back at them. Just be patient and you will conquer an enemy that looks to be physically stronger than
Amen.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Resolve to be patient as God is stilling your raging storms. Don't think he doesn't know. When they were on the boat, he was down there asleep. Now he made the waves. He knew what was going on. But he felt he didn't need to be up there, because they should have had enough sense to know that he is able. So don't think because the storms in life are raging and that hell is breaking loose that God is not aware. He's just waiting for you to say, hey, handle this.
Amen.
And then be patient and allow him to do it his way. And if you do that, the Bible says patience will do a perfect work within you. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Let patience have her perfect work. And see if God won't open up windows. See if he won't pour you out a blessing. Mm-hmm. See if God won't come and meet you right where you are. And it says, you know, when we get before him, he's going to tell us one of two things. He's either going to say, well done, or get away from me. I never knew you. Mm-hmm. We dress it up. And we say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But what that means in layman's terms is, get out of here. You talked a lot like me. And you looked a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to church, but I never knew you. Because you never took the time to know me. But the opposite side of that says, he'll say, well done. Good and faithful. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I'll make you ruler over many. But well done, good and faithful. It takes patience to be good and faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not?
Yes.
And patience will do what? A perfect work. And in the end, that perfect work will be an answer that says, you have done well. You have been good and faithful over a few things. And now walk into what I have for you, because the Bible says I'll make you ruler over many things. And the reward for that is eternal life in him in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that all right?
Yeah, all right.
That's all right. You don't have to shout that to get folks to shout. Y'all should be excited.
Yeah.
We talked about this morning. Some folks never understood. Why did they call that movie The Passion of the Christ? It doesn't make sense if you don't study. But God was in heaven and he was hurting because we had fallen. And his son's primary passion was to glorify his father. His passion was to glorify him. Redemption of sin was a result of him wanting to do the right thing by his dad. So understand this, Christ is passionate about you. He knows where you are, he knows what you're going through, and he hasn't left you, he's never forsaken you. He just wants you to be a little bit more patient and stop trying to run ahead of him and fix stuff that you have already asked him to fix. Fall in line, be patient, and God will work that thing out, and you will find peace, you will find contentment, you will find joy, you will find that when you get up in the morning, you're going to get up and say, all right, day, bring it, whatever it is that you've got, I know that God has already paid the price. The burden has already been handled, the sin debt is canceled, and anything that comes up this day has already been purchased and paid for. I've got a receipt, so I don't want to hear nothing else about it. Just trust God. Come on, somebody say trust. Somebody say trust. Somebody say patience. Somebody say perfect. Somebody shout hallelujah, because God is able. As we close, let us stand to our feet and open the doors of the church. Patience, let patience have her perfect work.